Hello, I'm Misa Hopkins, host of Women of Power and Spirit, Healing and Awakening in the Sacred Feminine. And in this series, we are exploring the depths of the Sacred Feminine in real life. The Sacred Feminine embodies the energetic yin nature within us all, necessary for living a balanced, healthy, and happy life. The qualities of the Sacred Feminine include stillness, compassion, receptivity, intuition, creativity, that deep, quiet place within us that beckons us to open up more fully to our potential, not through more action, but rather through greater clarity and inner peace. Many of us have led lives that were spinning out of balance in our desire to achieve or in attachments to beliefs and practices that no longer served. I'm one of those women, so I know what it takes to finally stop everything and settle into truthful awareness of yourself. Many of us experience dark nights of the soul, times of revelation when our spiritual gifts open and we are finally able to be who we truly are. In those moments and in the sharing of our stories, every woman can find hope. And now we are going to listen to one of those stories from Shannon Rios, who is a life coach and a licensed marriage and family therapist. Shannon's passion is partnering with individuals and organizations and families to assist them in living into their highest potential. Her life coaching focuses on the area of self-love and relationships. Her business is InLoveWithMe.com. You might want to go take a look at that while you're listening to the interview. She has produced two highly acclaimed guided meditation CDs, The Healing Journey Within, Meditations for Abundance and Love, Volume 1, and Deserving, and Volume 2. Whoops, I think I got that a little bit off, but I think you get the gist of it. Volume 2 is Manifesting. So she has trained extensively in the area of counseling. Shannon is also a trained Kundalini yoga instructor. And she's also developed her business, HealthyChildrenOfDivorce.com. In this capacity, she specializes in the niche and area of families, children, divorce, separation, and conflict. And you could, will also find at that site her best-selling book, The Seven Fatal Mistakes Divorced and Separated Parents Make, Strategies for Raising Healthy Children of Divorce and Conflict. So in talking with Shannon, I've discovered that after Shannon's failed relationships, of her own, she realized that she was the common denominator and that the core issue was a need for self-love. So she made a commitment to not blame her partners and instead focus on what she needed to feel self-love. And that has really become an impetus in the sacred work that she's doing now that I just shared with you. So I'm delighted to have you with us here today, Shannon. Welcome.
Thank you, Misa. I'm very delighted as well.
Great. Well, let's hop right in here. I'd love to hear about a defining moment, Shannon, that led you to having the happy and healthy life that you enjoy now.
Yes, Misa, I would say it does go back to the story that you just told about me. And the defining moment initially 12 years ago really was when I had a failed engagement. And I'd had two or three long-term failed relationships. So they didn't move beyond, the next level, the level that I was wanting, either marriage or deeper connection or long-term partnership, whatever that might be. So I was engaged to someone and I knew that I couldn't marry him because we didn't have a deep enough connection. And I didn't believe we were going to be able to go there together. What I know now is I probably could have done the work on my own. I thought he had to do it with me. I also do believe in some ways I made a good decision. But in making that decision, I really had to look deep, and I had to say, I wanted to blame it on him. I wanted to say, he didn't love me, he didn't do it right, he wasn't, you know, and even if that was true, why did I choose someone that didn't love me? So I had to really look at that, and, you know, that's not really fun. That's not the most fun thing that any of us really want to do is look at why did my relationship not work. It's much easier to say that somebody else did something wrong. So that, I feel like, brought me to my knees. It's a visual that I have of that moment when I realized, I want to say a bad word here, and I won't, but I said, oh, darn. Oh, darn. I've got some work to do here. And I started to talk to a lot of amazing women in my community. That's when I lived in Minnesota. And they were really, they knew my journey too, and we brought in, I started to study Kuan Yin, and after I started to study Kuan Yin, I started journaling, and it was clear. All I heard was, you have got to write a book on self-love, and it's your journey, and it's going to help others. So that's where it began. And I listened, and just as you said, I got quiet, and I took a weekend day sometimes and just stayed in bed and forced myself actually to just be calm. And it's amazing what we uncover and what is runs deep in our still waters.
That's so true. And isn't it true, Shannon, that it's the first place we want to go is to blame our partner and say it's all about him or her? It couldn't be about me. And I love what you shared with me, that I realized I was the common denominator, because I think that's a huge point of revelation when you've had more than one relationship that's not the way you want it to be. Say, wait a minute, I'm the piece here all the way through this.
Right.
It does take tremendous courage to say, what is it that I am creating, doesn't it?
It sure does, and I have seen many people not want to do that, and I encourage everybody to do it, because on the other side of that is more freedom, peace, and happiness, right? And I'm not going to tell anyone that it's an easy-peasy journey, you know. It didn't look the way that I thought it would. Kind of like once I thought about it was about self-love, I figured, well, this is going to be easy. It wasn't. I did have more work to do, right? I had to keep seeing more and more. There were levels and layers, like the onion, that I had to unpeel as I really looked deep. You know, and every relationship still takes me deeper, and that's the truth. And honestly, now I see that as a sign of a great relationship, if I can continue to look deeper and love myself deeper.
So the relationship becomes a catalyst for introspection and an opportunity to see how much more you can love yourself?
Yes, it really has for me in this lifetime. You know, every time that something comes up for me, it's like, huh, that's, you know, when you start to blame someone else, you got to look internally and say, wow, that's a part of me. That's what's being triggered. So it's really a continuous growth process, I believe. You know, unless both of you are, you know, at a pretty, really high level. And I don't profess to be, but I have really journeyed a long way, and I feel so much healthier than I did back in that day when I didn't really understand what it was all about.
Would you describe one of your most profound healing moments in that journey?
I would actually say, really, that ties into my CD meditations, truthfully. And I had moved from Minneapolis, actually after that relationship. People say, why did I come to Colorado? And I came for the mountains, and I came because I needed a change. And I was engaged in Minneapolis, and I decided I wanted to move to Colorado once that energy there, that relationship was complete. And so I moved out here, and after I was here a while, things I really felt the energy here. And I think Boulder really is a special place. I have chosen not to live in Boulder, but I think it's a very special place and amazing energy there. Amazing things come from Boulder, much creativity. And so I started just to receive, actually, first of all, I received my heart opening meditation. And that was really about me and opening my heart. And then I went to a conference and I came back, and the guy that I'd been dating for actually not that long broke up with me. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the whole thing. I wasn't rooted out here. I had dated someone. And then I really went into a deep place of contemplation about that. And when I was there, that's when a lot of the meditations on my two CDs started to come to me. So it was all about nurturing my inner child, feeling safe and loved, knowing that I deserved a lot in this lifetime, knowing that I was worthy. So all those feelings, when we're quote-unquote rejected, which is not the truth, but that's how it feels by someone, it really, you know, it's just this cultivation of a lot of stuff. So I was cultivating that, and really to get all the way through it, like basically plowing the field so that I could replant again is the vision that I'm getting right now. to plow that field, those meditations, I had to, it was like those were my plow. I was really plowing through a lot of stuff at that point in time. And they came in, and I heard so strongly, once again, just like writing the book, these are for you and to heal. And you have, and they were so strong that I could easily write them down. So I also knew that as soon as I went through one meditation, I would then go to my pen and paper, and I wrote them all down. So that was one of the most profound healings for me, because those meditations took me through a place where, I mean, if you can just think of acres of a farmland, and I plowed them all up with those meditations so that we can plant the new seeds. You know, and that's what those meditations, I believe, do for most people. I've had people say it's one of the most nurturing things they've ever done for themselves. So it's like, you know, it's that, it's opening the field so they can then plant the seeds and grow. And it, we can all grow into that beautiful, beautiful person and plant and whatever we are, you know, so.
So, and I've read some of the testimonials, Shannon, and they are just incredible, the people's experiences and what they're, the depths with which you're taking them in these meditations. So did you receive the meditations by going into a guided meditation yourself, or were you compelled to go into the silence? Where, what was happening there?
It was really two things, I believe, when I've looked back on it, Misa. And the first is that I had not long before that been trained as a Kundalini yoga teacher. So that's why we always mention that when we talk about my CDs, because Kundalini is, interestingly enough, Guru Mukh, who's one of the biggest Kundalini gurus, she talks that Kundalini yoga is the yoga of self-love. Well, amazingly, once I put in the ground and the stake in the ground that my life was going to be about self-love, I found Kundalini yoga. So I know those two are interconnected 100%, and I found it in Guatemala, of all places. So, yeah, my first class. Guatemala. And so I actually, number one, had found Kundalini yoga, and then number two, had moved. And with that energy of moving, I was doing a consulting gig and in coaching where I flew to Kansas City to do my work. So I hadn't developed my base of clients here yet in Colorado, and so I had a lot of time. And so once this person broke up with me, then like you said, I had that time and space to really go deep within and look really deep. And really it was just uncovering what I needed in that space and time to really, you know, come out of the darkness, which is what that really felt like. It was actually a very dark time, and I've read a lot of, you know, amazing healers say that, you know, you go through that, and what I believe is you go through that pretty dark time so that you know you can survive it, number one, and number two, you have to go really deep into that dark because we're humans and we've all been through a lot. And so there's usually stuff that we really need to look at deeply, and it feels dark because we don't love to look at it. But we can make it through it.
Well, we've had a lot of conditioning in our lives that says only the really good stuff is important. That's that you just keep your eye on what's beautiful and good, and then it all happens. And we miss the gifts of everything. All of life is a gift, not just certain parts of it. And of course, one of for many of our listeners, they'll know because they've spent time studying with me or reading some of the materials that I have, that in the sacred feminine, this space of stillness, everything is held. And everything is loved and everything is understood. Nothing gets left out, because otherwise you're trying to section yourself off into parts and say, this part is worth loving and this part I want to ignore.
Right.
Which basically is invalidating a portion of yourself and saying, you're unworthy of love over here, but this part is. So the only way, and if I'm hearing what you're saying, the only way you really truly experience the fullness of what self-love can be is to learn to love all the parts. Am I hearing correctly?
Yes, and in my experience, relationship has been this wonderful catalyst that has taken me really down deep into those parts. God bless, you know, those wonderful men that have journeyed with me in this lifetime. I really love them all, honestly. You know, I mean, and I'm friends with most of them. I mean, actually, most all of them. So, you know, you also can end the relationship really in a really healthy, sacred space too, even though you still do feel like you go through some pretty deep, dark times through the ending of the relationship.
That's right. That's right. We can be grateful for the experience that the individual is awakening in us.
That's right. That's right, exactly.
Yeah, it can be such a beautiful gift. Now, you talked about the meditations taking you into inner child work and feeling safe and feeling worthy. Were those connected to any of your doubts and fears? And what did you discover in that process about your doubts and fears?
Right. Well, of course, those were my doubts and fears. And it ties into, and I just like to make this connection because it is crucial, it ties into my book, my divorce and kids book, because I wrote that book because I was a child that went through a very high conflictual marriage of my parents and then a high conflict divorce. So in that realm, I didn't know a lot about my worthiness, my deserving, because when you have two parents that are conflicting like that, what I've learned now because I work in that field is that really they're checked out on their kids. As a child, you don't get everything that you may need, right? And so it's not to blame my parents. I've forgiven them. That's all. We're all good. But it does create a foundation of not really understanding, and maybe even some kids think that they caused the divorce and, you know, creating all these things in our brains that are not true. So we as adults then have to look back over that if we, you know, didn't have any one to talk to or understand as a child, and that's what I have done, and the book really was my journey to help families and children understand that. And the book has a thread of self-love. The divorce book has a thread of self-love that runs through it as well, because again, a divorce is the end of a relationship, so it all kind of ties in together, basically.
So is it fair to say that you, in your healing journey, reparented yourself?
100%. Sure. Yes. I mean, every day still, right? I'm still patting myself on the back a little bit once in a while. Like, good job. You got all that done, you know? So yes, of course, definitely. And that is what it takes. And we need to learn, you know, as adults, I believe, to be our own inner parent. And I think about how, you know, what does the little girl want? What does the child want? One of the best pieces of guidance I had many years ago when I started my journey, so one therapist had me, and she was a coach as well, had me hold my child for, I don't know how many days it was, 10 or 20 days, and just hold that baby every single day. It was a nice little kind of introduction into that for me. I hadn't ever experienced that before, but yes, of course, that during my journey, you reparent yourself, because otherwise you're always parenting yourself with the nature of your parents. And some, you know, and of course some of that's good, but some of that is not what we might want, we might not want to parent ourselves that way. So we have to relearn that, and then that's also relearning for when we have our own children, which to me ties into that as well. Really crucial to take care of ourselves, because then if you have children, then you're going to be the best parent to them as well.
So true. And Shannon, when you talk about that reparenting and addressing those doubts and fears, and you also mentioned really attending to what does that child within me need, did you find that in that process there were fundamental needs? I'm not talking about the need for more ice cream in your life, you know, or the need for a prom dress, those kinds of, you know, things. Really, I mean, those, there is something underneath all of that, right? There's a quality of knowing that we are loved, that we're looking for. Did you discover that there were some unmet needs that you needed to fulfill for yourself?
You know, Misa, the biggest one that I think that I found, and I'm sure there are many, but the one that comes to my mind right now when you ask that question is safety. I needed to know that I was safe and that I can take care of myself. And I've proven that to the world. And you know, I've done my own work, and I was a big corporate executive before I left. But I really had to know that for myself and be able to tell myself that and really believe it at a really deep level. There was a little child inside of me that just really felt that they were unsafe. Misa, are you there?
Yeah, it's so critical, isn't it? It's so critical for so many of us that, especially, I can imagine, in a high-conflict situation. I am going to apologize for those of you that can hear the pounding. They're apparently working on the roofs today. Apparently, right next to where I was recording. So I'm taking this to a quieter room, and I'm hoping I don't lose you in the process because this is such a great interview. We've had such interesting interruptions, little beeps, little pounding.
It's the angels pounding on all of our heads. Everybody can just tap on their head a little bit and say, I am totally beautiful, amazing, and loved. I'm totally beautiful, amazing, and loved.
Right.
They want to pound that into our brains. We're all totally beautiful, amazing, and loved.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Well, talk about the role of nature in your healing. I noticed on your website, Shannon, that you talked about moving to an area where there was a lot of nature. You were standing by a really beautiful lake, and something inside me said, oh, this girl knows the power of nature in healing. Would you talk about that and its role in your journey?
Well, nature is so crucial that I don't even think that I think about it sometimes. I used to talk about it, Misa, and lately I haven't talked about it so much because I think that it's just who I am. And it held me as a child, playing outside. So if you have kids, make sure they're outside, get them outside. We don't do that enough with our kids today sometimes. I built forts. I went to the woods. It was a place of security and safety for me as a child. And my dad built me a tree house. I think I lived in that thing. And then this huge pine tree we had in our yard. It was so amazing. And then as an adult, my great aunt actually had some really beautiful land in Chautauqua. And I went there a lot, especially when I was going through that period where my fiance and I were ending our relationship. And I would go there by myself, and I camp. I want to be as close to the ground as possible. I sleep the best I ever can sleep in my life there. And, you know, it's just beautiful to be calm and serene, and I would just go and take a book and read and rest. And I think it really helped me learn that I'm okay on my own. So as an adult female, I've traveled a lot solo. And I think that probably came from that. Like, I knew I could be out in the wilderness alone, so I can be in another country alone. I'll be okay. And so it gave me a lot. It gave me confidence. It gave me a sense of peace. And yes, that land in the video on my website is just, it's really special land. I want to redo the video, but I really love the land there. It's just so beautiful and amazing. And I'm actually working on buying that this week so we can all send good prayers that way.
Time for a move, huh?
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Isn't it true that as children, we often find our solace in nature? And I've noticed over the years, Shannon, I work particularly a lot with very deeply empathic people, that we often need that connection with nature again for the same reasons you just talked about. It helps us get calm. It helps us feel safe. I find that people get to clarity very quickly when we spend time with nature, when we're close to Mother Earth. We need that as much as adults as we needed it when we were children. And I think it does help fill in some of those unmet needs. Isn't it wonderful how as children we just seem to know that? We just go for it.
Right. We were just drawn to the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have imagined. I am so grateful for where I grew up and that I could go to the woods with just a 5-minute walk. And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that your father would build a tree house for you, you know.
Yes.
What a beautiful act of love and care to make sure you had that opportunity to play and be close to the mother. I just love it.
That's beautiful.
I bet it was. How about your intuitive wisdom? How did that come forward in your journey? How did you access it? How did you use it? How did it open up to you?
Well, that's a very good question as well, because as I mentioned earlier, I started my career in corporate America, and I had never heard of really even intuition, I don't think, back then, and but I did start, you know, 13, 14 years ago with Eckhart Tolle, and, you know, and started with some of that, the Four Agreements when that came out, and well, there was another big book that was huge, then the Celestine Prophecy, and here's the other lady that I worked, that I found really early on. I can't think of her name, but she was wonderful as well. And so I just started reading, and I think that I just started to recognize that I had some of that ability as well. And I just started to really hear things once in a while, honestly, kind of when I'm working with clients, I just know some things that I should say to them. I like the coaching model that I work in. I just ask a lot of questions, and a lot of times the questions come from a deep intuitive knowing place. I don't even know really when I'm really deep in a coaching session. I can't remember it later because, you know, I'm just in tune with the client, and that's, I think that's honestly when my best coaching occurs, obviously, when I'm so in tune with them. And I've been able to help clients in that respect quite deeply as well, even around the passing of loved ones sometimes. So I feel some people are definitely gently guided to come and work with me due to that intuitive nature and inability to connect that I have. So that's been a really big blessing. It was a little concerning at first to me because it's different. But really, you can use it to such a positive good, obviously, which is all I've ever done. So I feel blessed to have that. I don't have it the way that some do, but it really impacts my work. And when I get, again, it's all about getting quiet into my feminine, and then I can get really clear about, you know, I can really listen really deeply, basically, for myself or for someone else.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a gift for another.
Yes.
You know, I remember some of my early healing work, and now I realize how often they were able to get still enough to really help me get to my core.
Mm-hmm.
It was really going on for me, and they weren't frightened. I was frightened by my history and the things I thought I needed to remember and did eventually remember, and the missing pieces and the unworthiness. That scared me, but it did not scare them.
Right.
They already knew that once you meet those places within you, it all dissolves.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
There's peace, and they knew that. And I just give so much thanks, Shannon, for my therapist and the beautiful men and women in my life that took the time to hold space for me, which is how I think of therapy. You know, a really good therapist, a really good coach, a counselor is in some way holding space for an individual self-discovery. And I know what kind of love you must bring to that. You know, and reading some of the testimonials, you bring your presence, you bring your love into that session together. So that makes it safe, you know,
yes,
to know that you're being accepted as you are.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I can tell you what has taught me about that, and that is the fact that I'm also trained as a children's therapist. So they, in play therapy, when I was getting trained as a coach, I was also getting trained as a play therapist, and actually I think I got my coaching training first, but in play therapy it's the same thing. You're holding space for the child to feel safe, to feel okay, to feel like they're amazing, basically, but you're just holding that space, and when you just are there and mirror them in a positive way, everything that they need to do to heal comes out. You know, it comes out in their play, and it's this magical, amazing way that children have of healing. So I knew immediately that we as adults could heal in that same way. And it is about holding that beautiful space. I mean, these kids are, everybody's sacred, but I hold that sacred space for the child. I have play therapy sandboxes that my uncle built for me, and they're called sand trays, and that just is this beautiful place where they get to play in the sand, and I hold the space, and they talk about what's going on for them so they can get it out of their little brains.
I've done sandbox therapy. It is so cool.
It is
wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful way to see what's going on in your inner world.
Yes.
isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Now, you said mirroring in a positive way, and I think some of our listeners might not know what that is. Would you explain that a little bit, what the mirroring is?
Well, and the funny thing is, the first kid that I worked with so much with that, her name was Amira. So interesting, interesting phrase. But that was many, many years ago, 12 years ago. But and it was that. It's just like with kids. So the thought on that is that some parents, I mean, and the truth is the Coney Mental Health where I worked in the therapeutic preschool, sometimes, you know, parents haven't done their work or they're drug addicts or whatever it might be. So they can't mirror that beauty to their kids. And we all have that beauty inside, but we've got to know we've got it first before we could mirror that to somebody else. And so when we know, and it doesn't take us to know it really deeply, because I started when I was just on my journey, but I started that with kids really early on, and it's that reflection, it's that mirror of the love inside of you just mirroring to them that can mirror their love. I mean, you can see their love because you can see your beauty inside, and then we also use mirroring as adults, seeing other things. But when you're working with kids, and when I'm working as a therapist, it's all or coach, it's all about mirroring their greatness. I mean, I'm just a catalyst for potential. That's how I look at myself, and that's what I do. I'm here to mirror the best parts of everyone and the parts that need to be healed. So, and I don't say those aren't the best parts, but those are might just be other parts that we might not like call the best in ourselves, but they're important parts.
Absolutely. And that opportunity to see yourself through someone else's eyes. And it's so true. When the parent is deeply wounded, there is a limit to how much they can reflect back. We experience that in ourselves. Like, oh, I really kind of see that in another person, but it gets scary to let ourselves reflect back to another their own beauty, because then it makes it so apparent that we're not feeling so beautiful inside. Huh? So at some point, this journey you're talking about is so vital to be able to say, wait a minute, I can find this beauty within me. I can discover this self-love within me. It's always been there. I just was closed off to it, and it's created all these limits in my life. And as you've suggested, once you love yourself, then it is much easier to see that in another and express it and be able to speak to that. So you've gone through all this beautiful work going into the stillness, utilizing nature to help you connect more deeply, inviting your intuitive wisdom to come more forward into your work. Now let's go back to where we started. How has this beautiful journey that you've been on affected your relationships now?
Well, that's a wonderful question. It is what I believe is it's always a journey. but my relationships now are different. It's a give and take. It's a communication. You know, it's not with, it's forthgiving, not withholding. It's just a different place. It's more positive, and you know, I always see it as a journey. It doesn't matter if I'm in a completely committed partnership. It's always a journey where I'm always learning, and I'm always open to that learning to see, you know, what's there, whether that's with my partner or with a work partner or with a friend partner, you know. There's always this learning, or even the relationship with my coach, you know, and the person that's coaching me. It's always this journey of uncovering more so we can live at the next level of our life. And let me tell you what I know for certain is that as we get healthier, we reflect and attract healthier people into our lives, you know, that are either willing to grow with us and learn as well, or they just come from a healthier place overall. So that's the really big beauty and the really big impetus for me, especially when I work with parents of divorce, to be healthy ourselves so that we can attract good people into our life, especially for parents, because they have children that they are responsible for and divorce. And so they really, you know, it's really, really crucial to be healthy as a parent.
Oh, that's right. And you really feel the responsibility as a parent to do well in your selections, to choose people who can come into your family, and also to provide a stable framework and foundation for your children. So I can imagine the sense of responsibility that comes with a divorced mother or divorced father in terms of how they are going to attract new relationships. So in essence, I'm hearing there's a law of attraction principle working here. Do you coach directly about that or indirectly, that you're creating the space within you that attracts that beautiful relationship?
Well, yes, of course, we talk, you know, when I'm working with my clients, we talk a lot about that. And, you know, I don't know that I say law of attraction, but it's definitely that. It's the piece of, as we are healthier, it's just what happens. It's that mirror. It's that reflection. You know, it's the truth, you know. So, and the truth is that if we think we've attracted, if we're just releasing a really unhealthy relationship, there was something in us, inside of us, that needs to be healed so that we don't attract that unhealthy relationship again. Mm-hmm. Because we as humans are very patterned. There's some interesting phenomenon with us where mm-hmm. we continue to attract. I believe that we want to heal. I really believe that. And that we will continue to attract that until we heal, or that we know that old adage of, you know, you'll attract it until you learn your lesson. And it doesn't have to be a negative lesson. It can be an okay, easy lesson, but mm-hmm. you really want to look at that mm-hmm. so that you do attract the best thing possible for you in your life.
Yeah, well said. That shifting of the patterns, and that's really where it takes focused and diligent attention. You said it wasn't necessarily easy. And I think often it's shifting those patterns. Have you found that to be true, that that's a huge focal point for many of us once we get started, is realizing we really have to be attentive?
Yes. And those patterns can look differently in different people, right? So it's really interesting. I will, you know, maybe they're not an alcoholic, but they have a similar codependent pattern in another way that you don't necessarily recognize right away. So you really have to make sure, just like you said, that you are aware. And it's not that we want to live in fear, we want to live in love, but we want to be aware in love, right? We want to bring in goodness in love. So, but yes, those patterns are so prevalent, you know, and I use the example in my book, and I had a good friend whose father was an alcoholic. And when she got married, she married an alcoholic. Now, she didn't like mean to do that, and she didn't say to herself, oh goodness, I wish that I would. It's what we know. It's maybe even sometimes what we think we deserve. So just like you said, it's a process of changing those patterns so that we attract someone of a next higher level that will match us at our next, you know, level of health, basically. So that's my mantra for working, you know, with individuals and parents.
That's just beautiful. So beautiful. So as we're bringing this to a close, Shannon, would you tell us what motivated you to become so dedicated to helping people? I mean, it's one thing to be in a healing journey, but my gosh, you were writing down and recording the meditation that you share now, very early in your journey. So what motivated you?
Well, that's a really good question. Whatever we believe in, God or the universe, I would say that motivated me. It was just this, and again, it was me getting still and having that strong, deep knowing. And when I get still and hear that, I only do that. So when I got still and heard the chapters of my book for the book that I wrote, I wrote that book. You know, things just come to me when I get still, so I know those are the right things.
Isn't that so true? Yes, yes.
And that's my dedication. And my dedication is true, to be courageous for others, you know, so that they can be courageous. And like I said, I'm a catalyst for potential. That's what I believe. And that includes my own potential, and that includes everyone else, you know, whose life I touch. So, you know, that's how I see myself. And I feel it's a very big gift. I'm very grateful to be able to do this work in this lifetime.
What a wonderful gift. Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, so you've created some products to help us connect to our potential, and I think I slaughtered the name of one of them. So perhaps
right.
you'd like to state what you have created to help people, and then also let us know the website they can go to discover more about your work.
Yes, the meditations are the Healing Journey Within, Meditations for Abundance and Love, and it's Volume 1, Deserving, and Volume 2, Manifesting. And so those are available on Amazon or on my website for download. And then I have, and my website is inlovewithme.com. It's all about loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves to be the best parents, partners, and product, and have the best productivity at work possible that we want. Mm-hmm. And then my book is The Seven Fatal Mistakes Divorced and Separated Parents Make, and it's all strategies for raising healthy children, and that's available on Amazon as well or at healthychildrenofdivorce.com.
Excellent. So, Shannon, what last thought would you like to leave with our listeners today?
My last thought is, and we've talked a lot about this, Misa, but it's all about love. So wherever you're at, just envision love in front of you, and how do you want to grow that bigger in your life? How do you want to bring more love in or have more love inside of you right now? And just contemplate that for a few moments and just kind of focus and take a few deep breaths about love. And then breathing in love, we all are love, and breathing out love, we're all sending out love into the world. And I always like to leave my calls with sending everyone love and a big virtual hug.
Very, very sweet. I'm just taking that in for a moment because I could feel it as you were inviting us into the breath, and I can feel the depth of your love. Very, very sweet. So perfect. And I just want to leave with a couple of quotes, a couple of testimonials from people. These are beautiful. This one from Karen Kroll, I want you all to hear. She's a therapist and inner bonding facilitator. As I listen to this CD, I can feel the loving intention with which Shannon Rios created it. Her compassionate words and gentle voice stimulate me in a sense of remembrance. When I listen, I remember that I am not alone. When I listen, I remember the power, strength, and love that I can access within me right here, right now. Thank you, Shannon. What a gift. I will recommend this to all my clients. Isn't that beautiful? And here's one from Steffi, and she says, I've been meditating for years and have always enjoyed guided meditations. This is the best one I have found in a very long time. If you want to experience deeper love and abundance in your life, get it. You will be so pleased you did. So clearly you're touching some lives in very profound and beautiful ways. And thank you so much for being here, for going on your healing journey, for being so present in your life, and for holding space for so many beautiful people through your sessions and through your beautiful product. So thank you for enlightening us today with your presence.
Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you everyone here listening on this call who is choosing to be on your journey and choosing to be present with every moment of what is occurring in your life. We know what kind of courage that takes and what kind of joy can be the result of that journey. So I honor each of you for being here today. I thank you for being a part of the women, the power, and the spirit on this planet today. Goodbye, everyone.